Professor Peter Lynham on the line.
Yes, indeed. And how are you doing today?
Good as. I've just recently stood up for this conversation, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
It's a shocking experience, that's right. Happens to me all the time.
Now, Peter, we're chatting about Ramadan.
Yes, indeed. So Ramadan, you know, is the massive event, a complete lunar month devoted to for Muslims into preparation and purification and fasting.
What are the numbers on this? How many recognize Ramadan?
So the Muslim community, this goes across the whole Muslim community, so we're talking of about 700 million people.
Yeehaw.
And people gather together in great numbers?
I'm doing a tut-tut-tut with my finger sign.
Well, the...
On the internet?
I mean, you have to remember that the essence of Ramadan is actually, it's a fasting event during the daylight hours. And so, during daylight hours, no, you're certainly not congregating.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a soft fast, if you like, because it means that at the end of the day, the characteristic feature of Muslims is they gather together to feast to make up for their fast during the day. So this may mean that, I mean, in New Zealand, it clearly would be about, what would it be, roughly 12 hours, I guess.
Is it, silly question, coming up.
Yeah.
Is it like the 48-hour famine? Are you like just juice and barley sugars? Or
yes, so it is a bit like that. It's not an absolute fast, but there are a lot of rules around it. And the thing is that it's broken at the end of when night comes, night falls every night.
Oh, right. That's pretty much the same as the 48-hour famine as well, though.
Is it?
Yeah,
no. 48-hour famine, I thought you were supposed to.
But mum and dad are asleep, man. The pantry isn't. So.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I didn't realise that were the informal rules. I only know the strict rules.
Everyone's still getting the money. Just calm down.
Yeah, that's true. So in Ramadan, I mean, it is a really interesting phenomenon because it's associated both with desperate hunger during the day and with a fair degree of carnival in the evenings. And so, for example, I mean, it's really horrible if it runs, and because it's the lunar month, the time changes every year. But you know, if it falls during university exams, it's particularly miserable for Muslim students.
Right.
Because
you need the sustenance to keep focused.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they feel very, very faint during the day, and then they live it up at night. But that's very well. That doesn't help you get through the exam period.
Mm.
At least this time, this year, it won't be during exam period. But I mean, no, it's not going to be any exam periods in the normal sense of the word. So Ramadan is also associated. It's the holy month, so it's the month in which the Hajj is celebrated, so people go to Mecca.
Mm.
There, instead of the Friday prayers being the focus, really the daily prayers are the feature of Ramadan, and usually followed, the prayers, by a lecture about aspects of your Muslim faith. So the kinds of problems that Christians and Jews had over the Easter and or the Pesach, the Passover festival, are greatly multiplied for Muslims because effectively all of their traditions are out the window for this period. And especially when you come to Eid, the long night at the end of the Ramadan, where people are, you know, are awaiting the celebration.
It this looks gnarly. That looks like the meanest
thing,
the raddest thing to attend.
And so the loss of that is really, really terrible.
The kind of release, the sort of celebration.
Yes. So it's not, of course, within the bubbles, people are doing their celebrations. And the Muslim community, like actually most religious communities, has actually proved remarkably flexible in being prepared to close the holy shrines. So the great shrines in Mecca and in Jerusalem and throughout the Middle East, the scenes of Muhammad's adventures and experiences are all shut off. There's no Hajj.
No Hajj. It's off the cards this year.
Yeah, so the Hajj is the pilgrimage.
It's cancelled.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's just
people. That's right.
You can't 2.5 million people would have been going to that, and it's been canceled.
Well, mind you, I mean, everybody's supposed to do the Hajj at least once a lifetime. Mm. So, I mean,
is there anything to do with that wall when they put the notes in the wall?
No, that's Jewish.
Sorry, Matt. Carry on.
Yes. Okay. But, of course, they're putting the notes on the last remaining fragment of Herod's temple, on top of which Muslims in the 15th century built the great shrine, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Mm. That is the shrine to the place where Abraham supposedly sought to sacrifice Ishmael, as the story is told in the Muslim story. In the Jewish story, it's the sacrifice of Isaac. So they say this is the site of one of the great sacred events in the Muslim calendar.
So, sorry, you might have covered this, but I was just sort of reading. What is the actual fast describing, or like what does it represent?
So the Hajj is an annual remembrance of one's faith. It's one of the great pillars of Islam.
Right. So you just like be hungry and have a think about it kind of thing.
Yes, so Ramadan is one of those deep disciplines, yes, that is intended to maintain one's loyalty to the faith.
And so when you get the food, it's kind of like, thank you, God.
Yes, indeed. And that's right. Okay. But it's also a reinforcement of the community.
Yeah.
You see, this is what will be missing.
Ah, right.
Because
you eat together, right? Yeah, got you.
You'd eat absolutely together. Usually at the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And so there'd be a massive celebration.
Oh, powerful, powerful.
And now, Peter, I didn't realise that they'd cancelled the Hajj, which that's pretty quite a significant move.
Oh, people will probably
still. Yeah, because we're talking of moving millions of people. Mm. Yes, yeah.
Okay, so did that come from the Saudi government that it was off?
Yes, the Saudi government closed the holy sites.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, incredible, incredible. I didn't think that would happen this year, but obviously they have decided that COVID-19 is powerful.
Transmitted from person to person.
Well, it's a bold decision because, as in the Christian community, so in the Muslim community, are those that believe that you're inviolable to disease when you're involved in a religious purpose.
Yes. I thought there might be quite a lot of that sentiment where, you know, God will take care of me. But
yes,
running the government, though?
There is a certain amount of that sentiment, certainly, in the Muslim community.
Yeah.
But it's pretty clear that the Saudi government is, I mean, it's in that mixed position that it's effectively a theocratic role that it plays.
Hmm.
The Saudi government stands in for God and makes decisions to protect the purity of Islam. Because imagine if there had been disease.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it would be massively serious for
trying to trace everyone.
The Saudis. Yeah.
Hey, Peter, we just had a text in. My ex-girlfriend is Baha'i or Baha'i.
Yes, sure.
And practice something similar to Ramadan. They don't call it that. And, of course, they're not Muslim, but nothing is allowed to pass their lips from sunup to sundown. How is that?
So Baha'i sought to combine when Baha'u'llah in the early 19th century, who was assassinated or imprisoned and died in the imprisonment by the English, incidentally, he believed that the religions of the world were set against each other, but there were truths that all the religions ought to embrace. And so the Baha'u'llah believed that as a result of that, he should draw those practices that he saw in the Shiite Islam that, of course, was very much around him, in Persia, as it was called then, or Iran. And so they've set up their temple in Haifa in Israel. And it's now, how many faces does it have? Is it seven faces for the different religions of the world?
Mm.
I may have that wrong. And so their notion is that they would draw on the very best of Islam. So they would draw on the tradition of fasting because they see its spiritual power.
Right.
And incidentally, I mean, it is an interesting thing about going without food.
It must be hard for kids, eh? Like, you know, and you get to the age where you kind of recognize what's going on, but the early days you'd be like, I'm hungry, give me a snack.
Yes, but the person who is hungry, I mean, if they get over the hunger pangs, and simply there's a sense in which it strains out the kind of material, because you're not thinking about what am I going to eat.
Right.
And so it is supposed to clarify your mind in your devotion. And it's interesting that a lot of mystical traditions, and mystics are significant in Islam as well, with the dervishes, that there is a very powerful sense of dream and vision that's often associated with fasting.
Rad. Well, happy Ramadan, everyone.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Do you know anyone sort of observing it and how they're going about it?
Oh yes, I know lots of people who are observing it. And I mean, in general, the thing about Ramadan is that they don't make a fuss during the day about their self-denial. But I mean, you can be sure that most of the taxi drivers of Auckland are doing it.
Right on.
Historically, they would gather together. And I mean, I've always been fascinated by the way they gather at the Ponsonby Mosque in significant numbers with all the taxis, many of the taxi cabs of Auckland drawn up there.
Well, that might still happen. It might still happen.
Not this year. No.
I don't think so.
No. The Ponsonby Mosque is closed.
Oh, yeah, right on. But the taxis might still get together somewhere.
Possibly, yes.
Stay in your taxi.
We should not encourage people to...
No, not at all. Not at all. Yes. Just
they might catch us.
Hey, Peter, thank you so much, mate. It's always very insightful.
It's a pleasure.
Cheers, mate.